chapter 12 tonight, but I know God's just so faithful to us, and I do feel better than what I did this morning. I said, pray for my allergies. I tell you one thing, this morning I had a water in one of my ears. I never really had that happen on that scale, but I never had that, had water in my ear. I don't know how that happened, but the water's gone. Amen. Gravity will take care of it eventually, but whew, I tell you this morning, I got up here, I could hear out of one ear, and then I'm coughing and all that stuff. Well, I feel better tonight, and I say that now, let's get to preaching. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A few weeks ago, we started teaching some on the gifts of the Spirit, and just still feel compelled in my heart to deal some with these. And we're going to kind of go over a quick review, and then we're going to move into talking about the Word of Wisdom tonight. And I'm preaching this. I've said this before. It seems like Sunday mornings now have become our evangelistic services, and Sunday night's a good time to deal with the church. Amen. It's time to deal with those, or we call ourselves Christians, and it's time that we just, you know, Sunday nights is a good time just to teach us all. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11, this is what it says. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but in it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. A few weeks ago, as we began to preach on this, you will remember in the introduction that I began to preach on this, you remember I began to talk about why there's reasons that we do not see the gifts of the Spirit in our churches like we should anymore. It is the will of God that the gifts be in operation in our churches. Now, I want you to understand this tonight as we move forward into this. There are two camps when it comes to Christianity. And I know this is just a review for some. You have those that believe in cessationism, which means that the gifts in prophecy and that the Holy Ghost and the fashion of the book of Acts no longer operates in that magnitude now. They believed it was for the 12 apostles, for Paul, and for the early church, but they do not believe it is necessary today because we have the Bible and we have it, and because it is the closed canon of Scripture. They believe because we have the Bible, why do we need the gifts anymore? But then you have the continuous, which we are as a Pentecostal church. We believe in the continuation of the gifts of the Spirit, of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to the level that we can still be used in the gifts of the Spirit. And like I said already, it is the will of God that the gifts are in operation. We gave three reasons a few weeks ago why the gifts are not taught or in operation no more. Number one, I said this, they are not taught because of the ignorance of them. And that word ignorant there does not mean that you're not able to understand the gifts of the Spirit, but it means that they are not, that we do not comprehend them, or we do not take time to know more about the gifts of the Spirit. Number two, I said that we are not taught much about the gifts anymore because of the spirit of indifference. Some people may believe this, that if the gifts happen, that's fine. If they don't happen, that's just as good. That should never be in the life of the believer. It should never be, look, if God moves in the gifts, you know, maybe God will use somebody. You as an individual must pray and seek for the gifts of the Spirit yourselves. It's not somebody you just hope that maybe it'll happen. That's like looking at your lost loved ones and saying, well, if God wants to save them, He'll save them. That is a spirit of indifference, and we have to be careful that that does not settle in our Pentecostal churches. If so, we will find a cessationist mindset begin to creep in among the people that are in the building. Number three, we said that they are not taught no more or in operation because of fear of the flesh. People may wonder, say, look, if we have the gifts of the Spirit, somebody's going to operate in the flesh, and you should never, ever, 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 and I couldn't say ever enough, be so afraid of the flesh that we quit allowing the Holy Ghost to move. If that ever happens, the devil's already won. He's already got victory over that certain area in our lives. We've got to make sure, not because of ignorance, not because of indifference, that we cannot be to the place that we fear the flesh so much that we do not allow the gifts to operate. The way that I view it is this: if you're a Christian and you know you're living a good life and you know you're living by the Bible, my friends, you ought to seek to be used in the gifts of the Spirit, and you should let nothing hinder you. And like I said, I tried to get this a point across a few weeks ago. You cannot be afraid of what man is going to think about you as much as what God is going to think about you. Sometimes we're so self-conscious and so man-conscious that we lose all God consciousness. You cannot become so self-conscious and so man-conscious that you worry, well, what if my neighbor, if I obey the Lord, my neighbor may think I'm crazy. Well, that may be just good for your neighbor to see something different. It may be good for him to see a spontaneous movement of the Holy Ghost. And like I said, a spontaneous moving of the Spirit of God. I'm not saying, like I said a few weeks ago, God doesn't have to tell you 4 days ahead of time. He wants to use you in gifts of tongues and interpretation on Sunday. If God wants to speak through you, you ought to be in tune enough with God on Sunday. And if God wants to use you as an oracle and you're filled with the Spirit and you know that if God wants to use you in those gifts, you're praying for Him, you ought not to be so man-conscious that you let Him hinder you. My friend, it's got to be something. The gifts of the Spirit are often going to be very, very spontaneous. It's like right now, if God wanted to use somebody in the service right now, it doesn't have to be voted upon. It doesn't have to have my approval. If the Spirit of God is in it, it's going to be just fine. And my friend, if somebody does get in the flesh, like I said a few weeks ago, what do? I'll tell you what you do. You don't worry about it and you keep going forward and you deal with it when it's time to deal with it. My friend, it ain't nothing. You sit there and let it shut down the whole service. I've seen it before where somebody gets in the flesh and you look and all of a sudden people are just like a deer in headlights. They don't know what to do. I'll tell you what to do. You keep worshiping God. Let God continue to help you. And then if it needs to be dealt with, it can be dealt with. That's no problem. It's not going to sit there and bring down and cancel the rapture. If somebody gets in the flesh, it doesn't make the things of God to know. No, we can still go forward as a church and as believers. We talked about last week about the different types of gifts. We talked about the revelation gifts. We talked about the word of wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirits, the vocal gifts, prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues, and then the gifts of the actual action gifts, what I like to call them, faith, gifts of healing, and the work of miracles. We have these different gifts and we ask these questions. Why do we need the gifts today? What is the purpose of the gifts today? Whose gifts are they? And to whom are the gifts given? Whose gifts are they? They are God's gifts. They're not your gifts. They're not my gifts. I don't have a patent on the message of interpretation in tongues. I don't have a patent on the working of miracles. It's nothing that I do within myself, but it is God's gifts that are operating. It's nothing that you are doing. And we talked about last week, to whom are the gifts given? I'll tell you who's going to receive the gifts. Who's the hungriest for them? Amen. If you're hungry for the Holy Ghost, you shall be filled. Amen. If you want the Holy Ghost, the only reason you're not getting it, you hadn't hunger or thirsted enough yet. You have to get to the place of desperation, and you got to get to the place that is there. He's not withholding it. Same thing with the gifts of the Spirit. Once you hunger and desire and covet the gifts, you will be using the gifts of the Spirit if you earnestly desire them and you earnestly covet them. Now we're going to look at the first gift that is categorized in 1 Corinthians 12 and 8 tonight. We're going to look at the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is best described as the utterance of wisdom, the revelation by the Spirit of divine purpose, the revelations of His plans and purposes concerning things, places, people, individuals, communities, and nations. The gifts of the Spirit and the word of wisdom is that spontaneous gift. It is that word that is given to you from God, and it's a word of wisdom. As we look at this word today, the word is translated from the Greek word logos, or logos, meaning a concept or an idea, either thought or spoken of. That's what it says. When it says the word of wisdom, that
word there that means that word is the idea that it is a concept. It's something that God is wanting to reveal to somebody. And my friend, I believe that gift of wisdom is so much needed in our churches that we don't even comprehend how much we need it. We're going to talk about this a little bit tonight. But some churches operate in such a worldly and a sensual knowledge and wisdom that it has completely shut down the moving of the Spirit of God. It's not talking about your wisdom. It's not talking about a wisdom that can be gained from reading a book. It's not talking about a wisdom that can be gained by doing math or doing science. That's not the wisdom it's talking about. It's talking about the God-given wisdom and that word of wisdom that comes from heaven and heaven alone. That word wisdom that comes from the Greek word Sophia. And that word there means cleverness or skill or right application of knowledge, the ability or result or an ability to think and act utilizing knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. The ideal of the gift of the word of wisdom is when God imparts to you His wisdom, His knowledge about a certain subject for just a moment or a season, and He allows you to see something that would have never been seen before. It could be directed to an individual. It could be directed to a church. It could be directed to a nation where God gives you wisdom and insight about something, and there God begins to show you. The gift of the word of wisdom enables one to express the Holy Ghost revelation, knowledge, and answers to either an individual or a group of people, the church, etc. There's so many things, but get this, it's beyond all natural ability. Now sometimes it's natural for me to be able to look at somebody who's crying, and I can look at them and say, man, they're upset. Okay, that didn't take an act of the Holy Ghost for me to figure that out. Okay, if somebody says, ouch! Okay, common sense and natural wisdom says somebody just got hurt. Amen. God didn't have to tell me that. You kind of made that evident yourself. But you know, every individual in this room, myself included, there's areas in our lives and things in our heart. And I'm not talking about, I'm saying things that nobody sees. There's struggles that we have sometimes. There's mind battles that we have sometimes that nobody else may know. But guess who does? God does. And you know what? God also not only knows about what you're going through right now, but how many knows God can see in tomorrow a lot better than what you can? Amen. Sometimes we'll say, well, tomorrow at 9 o'clock I've got this, at 10 o'clock I've got that, 11 o'clock I've got this, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock. God may look at that and say, well, at 2 o'clock you're getting the car wreck and you're going to get paralyzed. God knows, is what I'm saying. What you don't see, God sees. So the operation of the word of wisdom is so important because I believe, and that apart from God's providence and different things, other ways God intervenes, God can prevent things in your life. Now, as far as there may be something going to happen in your family tomorrow that God wants to give you strength today about. There may be something God's wanting to show you right now that nobody else knows about, a secret battle you have. You may be battling with certain things and temptations and battles and all these different things, and you may not tell nobody about it, but God knows about it, and God can use a minister or somebody who's spirit-filled in a church to use the word of wisdom there, and that can be used forth in your life. It carries the mark of the wisdom of God, and God's wisdom beats all other wisdoms known to man. It's better than the wisdom of the politics. It's better than the wisdoms that are taught in our schools. It's better than the wisdom that is taught. It's anywhere in this world. The wisdom of God trumps it all. As a matter of fact, the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. God knows all things. God's wisdom is different. And God will have you do things at times that don't even make sense to your natural wisdom. We need the wisdom of God in our lives. We need God to speak to us. The gift of the word of wisdom is a revelation and a manifestation gift. The Greek word for manifestation is the word meaning a shining forth, an appearance making visible that was not seeable, or something that was not seeable before. That word there is taken from the word like a torch or a light. What the wisdom of God is when you study the word as a manifestation gift, it's when God shines light into something that is in your life or to something that is taking place. It's almost like God taking His wisdom and letting you pour it from Him and showing you this. He said, you see it from your eyes and this is what you see, but this is what's really going on. And He shows you what is going on, and His wisdom there is imparted to us as that gift. And my friend, we must realize that not all wisdom is heavenly wisdom. How many knows that? Book of James says this.
It says the wisdom descendeth not from above. It says this, is a glory not in lie, not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. There is a wisdom that is of the earth, that is of the world, that's earthly, sensual, and devilish. But there is a wisdom that is from above, that, like I said, is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy, and treated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's what heavenly wisdom is. Heavenly wisdom is pure. That means all your individual motives ain't going to be a part of it. Sometimes we want God's wisdom to do what we want to do. God's wisdom is pure. God's wisdom ain't going to lead you into sin. Amen. God's wisdom, you know, you ever heard somebody say, well, I was praying and thanking God, I really felt God kind of deal with me to do something. It's inherently sinful. You know it is. And I had a guy tell me one time, he said, I'm praying and me and my wife have been arguing here recently. I felt God tell me to, you know, leave my wife. I said, that wisdom didn't come from God, friend. No, sir. That didn't come from God. I'll tell you what God will say, look, you need to pray and you need to fast. You need to do something. That's what the wisdom of God is. It's pure. Then it's peaceable. Amen. How many knows the wisdom of God to keep peace in the church? That means your personal opinions mean nothing. It means my personal opinions mean nothing. You're operating in the spirit of wisdom and you're doing the will of God and you're striving your best and you're listening to God. You're making decisions according to God. It'll do its best to keep peace. And anybody gets out of order with that, they got to take it up with God because the other one's sensual and devilish. Not only that, my friend, it also says this. It's gentle, man. How many knows the wisdom of God is gentle? You ever had God's wisdom deal with you in a gentle way? He wants you to make it. Amen. God wants you to make it gentle. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy. My friend, yes, it don't mean that it's bitter and hateful. It means it's full of mercy is what it means. And my friend, it is good fruits without partiality, without hypocrisy. All those things, if you have any of the other, if your wisdom's leading you any other direction for those, you need to find out where the wisdom is coming from because it's not coming from God. Got to make sure we know this tonight, my friend. The wisdom of the world is so hard-hearted as shown to us as the example. My friend, you've got to contrast these two and know the difference between earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. And I want you to notice this. When it talks about godly wisdom, it is noteworthy that heavenly wisdom is made up of 8 different elements. And 8 is the number of new beginnings in the Bible. And when heavenly wisdom is used, it creates new beginnings in the life of those that the wisdom is imparted to. We need that heavenly wisdom in our lives. It'll bring new beginnings. It'll bring restoration. It'll bring joy. It'll bring peace. It'll bring peaceableness. It'll get rid of the hatred and bitterness out of your heart. If you act, if you got a bad attitude, it'll deal with it. That is the wisdom of God. It's always going to lead you to Calvary. It's always going to lead you to the pureness and the holiness of God. That is His wisdom. As we look at this, we've got to understand there are 3 types of wisdom that are commonly used by men in this world. There is a divine wisdom that is the wisdom of heavenly and spiritual. And we can read in the book of Proverbs, y'all. We can find all 3 of these. The Lord, it says this in Proverbs chapter 3, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath He established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down as dew. My son, let not them depart from the eyes. Keep sound wisdom in discretion. There is a heavenly wisdom. But then there's also a second wisdom, and it is basically, I call it common sense. Anybody ever heard of common sense? Let me give you a common sense wisdom of God, all right? The Bible says it, so you do it. If you're waiting to go to Mount Sinai to figure that out, you'd have missed it. We got a new Mount Sinai. His name is Jesus. And we're not trying to climb up a mountain that we can't touch. We come to Mount Zion. And you can touch Him and climb that mountain. Amen. Thank God for that. We've got common sense. How many knows we need common sense in the church? You know, how many know the Bible is a very, very common? I mean, it makes sense. How many knows Christianity is a reasonable religion? Amen. It makes sense. You ever met somebody that got so much book sense, but they just don't have no common sense? I've got some in my family. And I love them, man. You won't find a better person, but they can tell you everything. I mean, they can add, they can count, they can know the word and know this and know different words and know science and all this. And then it's just everything else just flows right over the top of their head. And you're like, man, use some common sense in what you're doing. Amen. Let me give you common sense of life, okay? If there's a dog that's growling at you, don't put your hand out to him. Amen. That won't only help you spiritually. You can keep your hand raised in church. Amen. But you know, that'll take you. That's just common sense. You need common sense to make it. Let me give you a choice. You're going down the highway, and all of a sudden, you know, so a car stops in front of you. Common sense says you need to stop. You know, we apply common sense so much to our physical lives, but man, do we miss common sense when it comes to our spiritual lives. We look at the world and say, they just should have used some common sense with that. And my friend, when it comes to your spiritual walk with the Lord, there's a lot of times I'm looking at people and say, just use some common sense. No, that don't even make no sense spiritually to do that. Make common sense decisions in your life spiritually. Not only physically in this world, but you've got to make common sense decisions spiritually. God, this is a job. I'm being offered a job somewhere. Okay? This isn't true. Don't take that from me. But I'm just saying, this is how people think. I'm getting offered a job. It's a $2 pay raise. But there's not a church within 100 miles of that place. So I think I'm going to go because it's more money. You ain't got no common sense. Hello? Unless God comes down and speaks to you and says, I want you to go there. I want you to start a word. I want you to do that. Unless you hear from heaven, I wouldn't go there just for $2. You better not go without hearing from heaven. I know God's asked people to do things sometimes that it makes. I know that. No, friend, unless you hear from God, use some common sense and don't do it. Use your common sense in your marriage. Amen. If you go home and you bark at your wife, you bark at your husband all the time, yes, you're going to argue. Common sense. They don't take a gift of the Spirit to figure that out. You may be dry, but you can survive on just common sense. But we need more than just common sense. We need the wisdom of God to operate in our lives to where there's things that we don't understand. Did anybody ever come across something in your spiritual life that you didn't fully understand everything?
I have.
When I added it up, my common sense let me down. And I said, what? Lord, I don't even know about it. I told you before, when I quit my job to go on the mission field, I remember telling my wife, I said, here's the day. And I remember getting down when I left that house. I was in that truck driving to work, and I said, Lord, I hope this makes sense to you because it's just not coming together. I know what I feel in my heart. My heart's saying yes, but my flesh is saying, no, you're crazy. I walked in, gave that resignation in, and you know what? I just found out recently. I know why God had me leave. It makes a lot of sense. That office ended up going down. God knows exactly what to do. You know what? I didn't know the office was going down in 3 years. I didn't know there was going to be a federal suit on the person running the office 3 years later. But God did. And here it is 3 years later. I made the sacrifice then. God's blessed me with a wonderful church and a church family. We're able to work together. I could still be great and great outside the will of God. But the spiritual wisdom allowed me to be here today. That's what spiritual wisdom is. You have earthly wisdom that common sense. But then you have a devilish wisdom. You know, a devilish wisdom? I mean, the devil's not completely stupid. I mean, he is pretty dumb, I think, because he's going to think he's going to fight the Lord. We can look at him and call him a dummy from our perspective. But there's a devilish wisdom. This is a wisdom of things better unknown. The wisdom of sin and her pleasures. But this is what's so unique about devilish wisdom. All they can see is the pleasure, and they never see the consequences. It's the funniest sinner. He has enough wisdom to understand, look, I can sell drugs and I may be able to make $1,000, $2,000, $10,000, $20,000. But man, they don't see that they might go to prison for 5, 10, 20, 30 years. All they can see is devilish wisdom. That adds up to them and their carnality. My friend, devilish wisdom, it sees pleasures, but it's void of the knowledge of sin's consequences. This is the wisdom that Satan had when he decided to exalt himself to the throne of God. He saw the power, but could not foresee the punishment. Ezekiel 28 and 17. This is what it said to Lucifer. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by the reason of thy brightness. He's saying, Satan, you had a wisdom, but your wisdom ended up being corrupted. My friend, if you're looking at this world and all you can see is pleasure and you never see consequences, you are not operating in the wisdom of God.
You're operating in fleshly, devilish wisdom. There is no way that you can have a biblical discussion of wisdom, my friend, without dealing with this. This kind of wisdom that comes from the devil is when the man looks at another woman instead of his wife and says, man, that would be pleasurable for a season, but he doesn't see the divorce, he doesn't see the children, they end up getting wounded. That's when the wife decides to leave the family. It's devilish wisdom. They can see the pleasure, but they never add up the consequences ever. That's when the teenager says, look, that looks good. But then they don't see the other parts of it either. It's that devilish wisdom. It's what you see pretty much when you look into Hollywood. It's what you see when you hear the music of the day. It's what you see when you see the styles of the day. So as we look at this, these types of wisdom reveal so much about the things that we can look at. But there is no way that we can talk about biblical discussion of wisdom and not include the wisest man of them all by the name of Solomon. In fact, I feel that is an accurate description to say that Solomon reveals more to us about the wisdom in the Old Testament than anyone else. Solomon achieved this by writing two books and each deal with the opposite spectrum. The book of Proverbs talks about the positive things of God and wisdom. And that's what he wrote. Fourth in Ecclesiastes deals with earthly wisdom. You look at his two different wisdoms that he's referring to there. And both can be used in a positive way. It tells us that Solomon, at his most spiritual point, that God filled him with divine wisdom. And this wisdom called Solomon's kingdom, in life to prosper beyond all comprehension. Here it was, Solomon had the wisdom that was given to him by God. Well, Solomon was. You bet he was. Hey, Solomon, you get one request, you know, and you get that genie idea. You know, you rub the lamp, you get one wish. What does he ask for? Give me wisdom. But do you see what happens with wisdom without God does to you? When he was focused on the Lord, his kingdom prospered. It went forward. He's seen so many great things. But when he gets his eyes off God and he begins to focus on his own pleasures, all those things that God intended to be good, wisdom has a negative side to it if you do not keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, we also must understand this tonight, that wisdom is an action. When the gift of the Word of wisdom is an action, it is something that we can look at now that we have an understanding of what wisdom is and what the Word of wisdom is. Let us look at some biblical examples of the attributes and action. We understand in the Bible if there was a man that was ever used, not just a man, but the Son of God, if there was ever somebody that was used with the Word of wisdom and the gift of wisdom, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at Him, my friend, every time the Pharisees came to Him and every time they tried to get Him in a pickle or tried to get Him in a predicament, my friend, every time what Jesus would do with the wisdom of God, He would completely take the arguments and He would leave there, and they were doing something like this when they left Jesus. He didn't understand it. They came to Him, they brought a woman that was caught in adultery. And my friend, when they brought Him to Jesus, when they brought that girl and the woman to Jesus, we know that Jesus was able to do things through the wisdom of God. We know when it came to taxes, we know what He did. When it came to questioning Jesus' authority, He was able to take the wisdom of God and fight against them, my friend. But also the wisdom of God is very important, even in the management of your affairs. How many knows you need to manage, in order to manage a good life, you need God's wisdom? Amen. Your desires will get you in a pickle in this life. It will. It will. Your desires will get you in situations that you wish you never got in. But we know when it comes to the management of affairs, the Holy Ghost and then the gift of wisdom can be used. When it came to Acts chapter 3, when it came to serving the older, and we know these are the first deacons, this is what it says in Acts 6 and 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, number one. But this is what else it says, and full of wisdom. The Bible ties the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the fullness of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that it's important to understand that there's a certain wisdom that comes with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You get spiritual eyes you didn't have before. If you yield to the Spirit of God, God can use you in these things. He said, seek you out men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Both. Why do we need to be filled with the Spirit? Because when you're not filled with the Spirit, we think of things sometimes outside of the Spirit.
But when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, it gives us that unison in our heart. That we've been baptized with Jesus Christ in the Holy Ghost, and there we can now use a resource that is from heaven. Now, my friend, we also got to understand Colossians 4 and 5 says this, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. There's so many different areas we can look at, but I think of even when Ananias and Sapphira came to Peter, and they begin to lie about what they did with their money there. Isn't it amazing that Peter simply looked at him, they said, here's our offering. And Peter looks at him and says, why? Has Satan put in your heart the lie to the Holy Ghost? How do you think Peter knew that? God told him about it. Do you still believe God can speak to us? Anytime you try to silence the voice of God, we just get reformed and we get dead. I hope that, you know, like I say this often, if you only hear God speak to your heart every other Easter, something's wrong. And I often, like I said, I worry about people when God speaks to their heart and they can't tell you nothing the Lord said. I can take you a few spots in my life where I know for a fact God spoke to me. And I can take you to spots where God used other people to speak to me. I remember when I first, and this is just personal experience, but I had been preaching the gospel maybe, let me just add it, I won't tell you a lie. One, two, I was preaching the gospel maybe about 9 months. I remember one night, I'm as spontaneous as I am. I remember at 6 o'clock one Friday, it was about a Wednesday night, I called and I said, I wonder if I can get off work and go to a youth meeting or a camp meeting down in Georgia. So I called and they said, man, we ain't got nothing going on, go ahead. So I called a friend up. I remember calling Brother Tony Chavez up. He's a Spanish brother. And I remember calling him, a Hispanic person. And I called him up and said, hey, Tony, you want to go to Georgia tonight? He said, what? I said, let's go to Georgia. He said, all right, I'm not married. I said, me either. Let's go. We got in our cars. I remember driving about 12 hours or so to that meeting. I remember getting there 4 o'clock the next morning. And, oh boy, I'm glad I went. It was one of the best meetings I've been to. I mean, I remember that's where Brother Tony got the Holy Ghost in that meeting. It was just wonderful. God just inflamed my heart to go. Amen. Spontaneous. Just went. Fell into my heart to go. Went. I remember one night, and I'll tell you, I was praying, and I remember I was just starting off in the ministry, trying my best to figure out the will of God and what to do. I will never forget it. I remember I was kneeling down praying in the altar, and to this day, I don't know who it was. I never laid eyes on the person because I never got to see his face. Somebody went and leaned down while I was praying and spoke some of the most precious words to me as a minister. I mean, when he spoke, every word he spoke, it felt like waves of the Holy Ghost were just sweeping through my heart. And I remember I just sat there and wept. I remember prostrate. I couldn't even move. I was weeping and crying. And you know what? I didn't look up. I don't know who it was. But I remember this. I went there, and there's been many times in my life the exact words that brother spoke in my ear. I stood on in some of the darkest times of my life, and I said, Lord, I remember whoever it was spoke to me, and you used him. He had a word of wisdom. He spoke in my heart. And to this day, I still refer back to it. To this day, I still talk about it and live on it sometimes because somebody was used in the gifts of wisdom. My Lord, help us once again. As individuals, you know what we need in Abundant Life Tabernacle? Individuals that are full of the Holy Ghost using the gifts. And when sinners come to the altar, if God leads you, if God moves on your heart to tell them something, and you know it's from heaven, you can go to them and God can edify the church. That's your job, preacher. What do you think I am? I'm human. Like you are. We need the church to be the church. There are gifts that are in operation. That's what we need. You ought to pray for these things, my friend. And I try not to be too much longer in this. But we know that God uses different things. The word of revelation. And there's times, my friend, when it comes to this, the ways that we receive the gifts of wisdom, my friend, sometimes it's through a revelation in the Word of God. There's sometimes you open the Bible and the Holy Ghost will take something that's already been written and He'll say, that's just for you right there. That's for so-and-so. Has God ever gave you a verse of Scripture that you gave to somebody else? If He hadn't, you ought to pray about it. I'm sure God can give you a word. I mean, if He don't give you your own word, at least find a verse in the Bible to use. There's been times in my life I know God's given me a verse of Scripture. What I do, I write it down. I remember texting them. I remember calling them. I remember giving them this piece of paper and said, I was praying for you and I feel like maybe this will help you. And they read it. There's been times they'll come back and say, this is exactly what I needed. You don't even know what I was going through.
My friend, also we can hear an audible voice from heaven at times. And this is, I don't believe this happens to everybody every day. But there's times you can actually hear a voice from heaven or hear a voice from God yourself. God can still speak to you. There's time by spiritual discernment of a spiritual initiation of a situation, by vision, by dream, by word of prophecy. God can give you words of wisdom. However He does it, my friend, I'm telling you, you need to pray for this gift that God will use you in the word of wisdom. And this is what's so beautiful about it. When Jesus Christ was used in the gifts of the Spirit and the word of wisdom that we read about, this is what it said a lot of time with the people He were talking to. It said they marveled. It said they're sitting there and say, I can't believe He knew that about me. That woman sitting by that well, you know, we talked about it Wednesday night. That woman sitting by that well said, go get your husband. I ain't got one here. He said, I know you don't. You got five. One you're with now ain't even your husband. I bet she thought to herself, who's he been talking to? My friend, we need this in our life. Many times people marvel. And other times the Bible says that when somebody tried to argue against them, they held their peace. And then you read it even times like this. They could not take hold of His words. The gift of the word of wisdom, it's not natural, it's not common or learned, my friend, but it is a spontaneous word that is from heaven and is granted for ministry in the local body. And my friend, you've got to understand this. We need that word of wisdom in our churches. And let me ask you this. Is it an operation in your life? Is it or not? As we look at these things tonight, and if we get, we're about to stand in just a few moments. I made a comment a few weeks ago, and I feel bad for making it. And the Lord dealt with my heart about it. I said this exact thing, and I'm just going to apologize because I said it wrong. I said, we don't need to seek the gifts. We need to seek the giver. I'm all wrong. You need to do both. I left here the other night, and I remember meditating about that. I said, and I began studying the Bible even more. I said, that's not even right. I said, you don't need to seek the gifts. You need to seek the giver. You need to seek both. I hope you're seeking the giver even before you get the Holy Ghost. And I hope you're seeking the Holy Ghost even while you're seeking the giver. And while you're seeking the giver, you're going to seek the gifts. It's going to be a part of your life. If there's a continuation in your life, if there's not a continuation, I don't expect you to seek for the gifts. If you're stagnant and dead and lukewarm, I don't expect you to seek for the gifts. But if you're reading this Bible, if that Bible is your Bible, and you believe that's the Word of God, we have no excuse. We have no excuse. The Bible says this, as we're about to close in just a moment. It says this, it says three different ideas when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. Though we cannot choose the gifts that we operate in them or by our own will. It's not by our own will, my friend. God knows where He will use us at. But as it is the Spirit's sovereign will that gives them to us, we, however, are instructed to covet earnestly the gifts and to desire the gifts. He said, I want you to covet earnestly and I want you to desire the gifts of the Spirit. When we look at these words, the Greek word that's used here is the word that we same word we get zealousy for. Now, does anybody, you know what zealousy is, don't you? I'm pretty zealous when I hear about some of these things that are coming across the news and I hear about the homosexual agenda and all these things going on. There's a certain zealousy that rises up in me and says, man, that just is not right. That makes me so aggravated and frustrated. Lord, we need revival. And there becomes a zealousy that begins to ignite in my heart because it's something that I recognize is not right. It's something there, and I say, Lord, I want things to get better. So we understand what zealousy is, but the Bible lets us know that we need to be zealous for the gifts. Zealous for the gifts of the Spirit. I know this will go right over some heads, but it's up to you. All I can do is preach it. All I can do is read the Bible to you. And I'll leave here tonight, I'll wash my hands, and I'll say, God, I preached it. And I'll preach on more gifts that God leads me to. And right after that, I'll wash my hands and say, Lord, I preached it. And I'll wash my hands, I'll preach on it again, the Holy Ghost again. I'll wash my hands again and say, Lord, I preached it. And then God will probably, if God leads me to preach it again, I'll preach it. Because, my friend, we ought to be zealous about the gifts. We ought to be clearly instructed three times in the Bible in Paul's teaching concerning the gifts that we have to have a real zeal and burner of seeking for these supernatural endowments. That is our responsibility. The rest of our lives is to continue seeking for them. Let me ask you a question, and this will convict me. It'll probably convict my wife and convict everybody in this room. When's the last time as a church we had a prayer meeting
directly seeking for God's Holy Ghost to move in the gifts of the Spirit in our churches? What if all of a sudden I said, look, Tuesday night, the Tuesday night of every month, we're going to come from 7 o'clock or from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock every night. We're going to pray for 2 hours for the gifts. I wonder how many people would come. I wonder how many people would come. Well, Brother Derek, it's not a normal schedule. So what? If you ain't seeking on the other any other prayer meeting, we got to seek somewhere. Where are we seeking for them at? If all of a sudden I say, look, man, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have, you ever heard of a revival? We have revivals. What if I say we're going to have a prayer revival? Well, Monday through Friday this week, we're going to pray from 6 to 8. Matter of fact, God's been dealing my heart on it. Don't be surprised if one ain't coming around the corner. We need to have prayer revivals. My Lord, we've gotten away from the cottage prayer meetings. I hear things. I remember sitting down with an old brother one time, an older brother. He's passed on now. Anybody ever heard of a bull rush meeting? Where they would take poles and they would stand them up and they would put limbs on top? Rush Harbor, we called them bull rush. I forgot whether it's something rush meeting, Rush Harbor, different words. You ever heard of one of those? And I'm sure Brother Glenn and many of the older probably heard about those things back in the day. They just find an open field. They put them out there and they put them and they would sit out there and they'd have church 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Oh my. Have revival. Have an outpouring. You say that ain't wise. Not according to your flesh, it isn't it? But according to God, He's looking for us to be able to have a sustaining ability to seek His face. I'll say this, and we're about to pray. We shouldn't condense our revivals down to just weekend meetings. We shouldn't just condense our revivals down to weekend meetings. You say, well, we got a schedule. My friends, the best meetings I ever had in my life where I had to completely cancel my schedule, find my way to the house of God, and seek His face with all my heart. Well, I can't help that. We've got to make time to seek for these gifts. And guess who I'm talking to? I'm talking to Derek Jones tonight. I'm guilty for sometimes of saying, well, there's so much going on. My friend, if God deals with our hearts to be a church that's seeking for these things, the only way we'll ever see the supernatural is when we make room for it. It's when we make room for it. Stand to your feet tonight. As I said already, let's seek for these gifts of the Spirit. You say, Brother Derek, why are you going over these? I just talked about one tonight. I'll try to maybe double up on them if God wants me to. Why are we talking about gifts of the Spirit? Because I want you to understand how much we need them. The gift of the Word of Wisdom is needed in our churches. I'll say this, the gift of the Word of Wisdom is needed in our families. Come on. It's needed in my family. I've told this before, and I won't leave you standing. We'll pray. But Brother Jeff Hensley is a preacher. My wife got saved under it. And I know I've mentioned this before, but just because it fits. He said one time in his rebellious years as a teenager, he had a cooler full of beer in the trunk of his car. And he said he remembered. He said he went out. He said after school, he went out to his car. He popped the trunk, and the cooler was gone. And he said it instantly came to mind. Only two people's got keys, and that's me and Daddy. He said he went home and his dad was sitting there. He said, Dad, did you get in the car? He said, yes, I dumped the beer out in the cooler. I dumped it down the drain. And he said, how did you know it was in there? He said, I was sitting in the living room. He said, I was praying, just meditating on the family. He said, and God spoke to me and said, your son's got alcohol in the trunk of his vehicle. Go get it out of there. Brother Jeff Hensley said, who knows? That could have been the night that he got in a car wreck, died, and went into eternal punishment. But because somebody had the Word of Wisdom, some knowledge about what was going on, God was able to prevent that. Will God be able to prevent everything in this world? No, I know there's many things that will happen. But I can say this, as the church, we ought to be able to say, this happened to so-and-so, or this happened to this world. But as a church, we were doing everything we could. I don't know about you, church, but when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I don't want to stand there and say, Lord, I didn't seek for it. I didn't seek for Him. He may have looked at you and said, I designed to use you in the gifts. This could have been prevented. This could not have happened. I don't want to look at Him and say, no, I was busy, Lord. I was so busy. I couldn't. I didn't believe it. I didn't think it was necessary. I don't want to look at our Jesus Christ, look in His eyes, and say that something He died for, I don't want to tell Him that it's not necessary. I want to tell Him I want it. I want to tell them I want it. What we do, just like we did a few weeks ago, everybody just sit in them pews, come find you a place to pray. And we don't need no music right as of right now. We'll just pray as a church. And I say this, covet earnestly the gifts, desire the gifts, have a zealousy for them. And church, let's continue to pray and ask God to use us. Let's just all find us a place and pray and let God help us and challenge us tonight in Jesus' holy name.